step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
As a team, as players, as individuals, but as an individual, I would pull him and say, what are you on about? And try and get go through it with him. But I wouldn't be having that as a player. No way, no how.
Here we go. Welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and I'm joined once again by Steve Eyre and Rodri Giggs. Happy birthday, Rod.
Yeah, cheers, pal.
How was it?
Pardon?
How was it?
How was it? Yeah, it was alright. How old is it?
No, how was it? Is my accent that bad?
It's quiet now. I don't really make a big thing out of it anymore. It's just another day, innit?
When was the last major birthday you celebrated?
21.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember much about it?
I can remember going out literally full on having two girlfriends. I was living in London at the time. Stez will know one of them, Beth and Francis.
He's naming them as well.
and Rebecca Turkington. But halfway through the party, I'm in the cubicle with someone else. What, about 10 people are watching me. Yeah. I was crazy when I was 21. So
I'll be 21st. There you go.
Yeah. Exclusive for Shooting Defence. I've been wanting trapped too while everyone was watching.
Fantastic. You're lucky there weren't any fucking camera phones out there back then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Fuck. Oh, Jesus. Steve, how you doing?
I'm very well. How are you, Stel?
Yeah, good, mate. How's your 21st?
I must be joking, aren't you? I can't remember that far back, mate. No, it's not really like Rodri. They just come and go out. I don't know if this is a bit weird, or I don't know if it's normal or weird, but I'm the type of person that's more likely to celebrate somebody else's birthday than my own. Mm. Mine can come and go and people don't really know about it, but I jump all over everybody else's.
Why not? Rod, what was the name of that second one?
You know where it was? That's my 21st. Lancastrian Hall Library.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Proper classy.
Top hat and tails and all that, yeah?
Yeah. It's where, when we was kids, when we played the Dean Sports, where we used to have all the presentations and all the stuff. So
you've not got far to get home from there. You're about 800 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Enough, yeah.
Result. All right, let's talk about
who goes upstairs? Who goes home after a party? Come on, Chris. Come on. Yeah.
Me.
Are you sure you actually slept in your bed then, Rod? You didn't sleep out on a bench or anything?
I slept in a few beds that night.
All right, let's move on. Premier League time. Which game? Shall we start with West Brom absolutely battering Chelsea? I know Chelsea had 10 men. But Steve, I don't think anyone saw that coming, let alone West Brom scoring 5 goals. A victory at Stamford Bridge. I think Thomas Tuchel was manager of the month as well, or something like that, 14 unbeaten, something like that. But yeah, big result.
It was. And the two managers, first of all, Tuchel, I've been really impressed with him. He's experimenting with his team, a little bit of rotation. Nobody knows what Chelsea's best team is, probably, other than it looks like Mason Mount, really. Keeps swapping the fullbacks, the centre-halves, the striker. We're waiting for Kai Havertz to play well. We're waiting for Werner to start scoring. So there's loads of things not happening for them, but obviously they've been quite progressive under this new manager. Thiago Silva was out for 10 games and with an injury, comes back, gets sent off, and now will have a ban. So just when we thought he was going to be an asset to the Premier League, he's going to actually miss more games than he plays. And then for Sam Allardyce, I don't know if you saw the after-match comms that he did, but good luck to him. An amazing result. But he talked about how he demolished Chelsea, how his team ripped them apart. And you get the feeling that this manager was just making the most of a victory because he might not do too many after-match interviews where he wins so convincingly against a big club ever again. And I thought he milked it. And then immediately after, I thought, well, good luck to you. It's a hell of a result.
Rod, yeah. As I said before, no one really saw that coming. You know, I aren't big fans of Big Sam. I don't know if Steve is a fan of Big Sam, to be fair. But some people call him Scam Allardyce. And I get the feeling this victory is actually going to paper over all the cracks that West Brom have shown in the past few weeks. I mean, for all I know, for all we know, they're probably going to get dicked their next game.
Yeah, it's just a little tiny lifeline. I don't see them at all getting anywhere near out of trouble, to be honest. The West Ham's a bad day. Sorry, Chelsea's a bad day for Chelsea. And, just see them regroup. It's always a weird one when they come back from internationals or European games. A lot of travelling. You know, you don't use coming back injured or picking him knocks. It was definitely a shock anyway. But, yeah, I just think, like you say, it's paping over the cracks, you know. I don't think he's going to do it this time.
I know that Chelsea had 10 men, and Thiago Silva obviously ended up being a big loss for Chelsea, Steve. But the thing is, how can you explain conceding 5 goals at home, especially with 10 men? I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, Azpilicueta was there, Kurt Zouma was there, Reece James, Alonso, they were a goal up as well at the time. So are we talking about a head coach who perhaps got it wrong tactically, in the sense that, well, you're 1-0 up, you've got 10 men, try and defend what you got? I know it's West Brom. And I know people are going to say to me, well, why would they want to defend for their lives against West Brom? But at the same time, when you look at how easy West Brom got in behind Chelsea for every goal, surely he should have done something. Does he have a plan B? It doesn't seem to me like he has a defensive system.
He will have in his armoury still. He will have in his locker, and I think we'll see it in future games. But I think you've just covered it superbly. I think the Chelsea, I mean, he took ownership of the result at the end of the day. He said, I picked the team, I made the tactics, this one's on me. But he also knows he's in credit because he got off to a great start. But the Chelsea lads probably thought, well, we're in that just underlay of around, you know, top 3, 4, 5, 6. We may as well just have a go at West Brom, even though we've got down to 10 men and they're going to go down. We're trying to cement top 4. Let's just have a right go at this. So I imagine it was probably more cavalier than being 1-0 up against a bigger, better team where you retreat, you bank up and you defend your own half. So I wouldn't be surprised if they remained with an open plan against West Brom as they had with 11 players with them when they went down to 10. And it just left gaps for, you know, West Brom. You know, they've got the talent of Pereira, but they've also got a lot of legs in that last third when they get forward. And they obviously had the confidence to put loads of crosses in with Chelsea minus a centre-half and a substitute centre-half coming on and lots of replacements and basically the plan ripped up. So credit to West Brom. And just before you flip to another fixture, I've not got the answer for this, but just something I've picked up in the last couple of games on West Brom still, and Rodri. Where's Sammy Lee? Now, I only see the TV highlights, but for the first 4 or 5 games, he was always the cheerleader. Sam Allardyce was slumped in his seat, chewing the gum, watching his team get beat. And Sammy Lee was basically clapping his hands, telling everybody well done to anything that they did remotely good. But I just noticed the substitutes board, the replacements, the cheerleading at the side of the pitch. It was from an unknown character. I just wondered what's happened to Sammy Lee. He may have been there, and I just missed him on the highlights, but it's just one to look out for. I don't know where he's gone. It's all quiet. But credit to West Brom. It was a terrific result. And Chelsea, probably too cavalier with 10 men.
Maybe he's given up. There's only so much clapping you can do.
Someone may let you know and let me know. But last couple of times, I've not seen him cheerleading on the side of the pitch.
Fair point. One more thing before we move games. And this is a question for both of you, really. When you look at Chelsea's substitution, when they took off, I think they took off Ziyech and they brought on Christensen just after Thiago got sent off. So they were reverting back to the three central defenders. But then when you look at West Brom's equaliser, I think it was Sam Johnson just pumped it upfield. And that run from the centre of the park, just completely unmarked, ball watching. That's schoolboy defending, isn't it? It's terrible. You don't expect that from a top level team.
Well, he's still a schoolboy stroke youth. You know, he's not had the games to be classed as a senior yet, Christiansen. He's still very much in the potential phase. And it's very brave. And like I said before, they're cavalier of Chelsea to, if they did, you know, to stick with three, he knows better than us, I'm sure, Tuchel. Mm. But I think what you do when you get sent off normally, and Rodri can really unpick this, is you go to a back four and you have a four in front of you. So you have two banks of four. And you defend and you kill the spaces and you have one up front. What's happened more in recent seasons, people have realised they do that, but they can't get out. So you end up having 4-3-2. So you take one of your midfield players and put them up front so that when you do have an out ball, you've got a chance of holding it up, getting a free kick and somebody chasing after it, and you can get up the pitch and get some territory. That would be my choice on a sending off, but it depends what the scoreline and the time is on the clock. But it's nearly always a back four when you go to 10 men.
Fair point. All right, let's talk about Liverpool beating Arsenal 3-0. Crikey. Where do we begin with this one, Rod? Arsenal shit defensively. Liverpool were just potent up front. They had a whole heap of chances. It could have been 5 or 6, in all fairness. I'm not going to ask if this is Liverpool turning things around and having the opportunity to get back into the top four, because really and truly, I think they're only, 2 points behind Chelsea, who are fourth. So Liverpool do have the chance to get back into that top four. But as a game itself, as a contest, it's almost as if Arsenal weren't even anywhere near Liverpool. It's almost as if they were still stuck in bed or players were in international duty. Gary Neville pointed out that Aubameyang was knackered. When I saw the first goal, I don't know what Holding was doing with trying to deal with the Alexander-Arnold's cross. It was just a shit show from Arsenal all over. But we can't discredit Liverpool. They deserve the win.
Yeah, they did. But like I say, still, when they come back after these international breaks, you get these bad performances. And it was a bad performance by Arsenal. You could tell by Arteta, he was stunned after the game and what was going on. So, you know, Arsenal, where they are, the 10th, that's where they are. That's where they're at the minute. It makes me piss every time on Twitter that you've got these Arsenal fans gassing that Welbeck scored and your team's 10th, your team's shit, shut up and getting your own shut up. Your team's 10th. So, yeah, that's where they are, mate. And Liverpool, you know, they're going to get better, aren't they? Players are coming back. They are going to get better. So, they were by far the best team last year and by far the best team at the start of the season. You know, the wheels have fell off. Injuries are taking its toll. Games thick and fast with not the quality of the squad that other teams have got has took its toll. And now they're kind of getting back into it again. So, yeah, I can see them nipping next top four easily from Chelsea, because although Chelsea have got beat, they have done well before, but I just still think Liverpool are a much stronger team.
The thing is, when you look at Arsenal's midfield, they had Partey and Ceballos as the two holding midfielders against Fabinho and Thiago and James Milner. Okay, James Milner, I wouldn't put him up there, but Thiago and Fabinho, Steve, you know, absolutely bossed the middle of the park. Arsenal, they were chasing shadows, weren't they?
They were, and it was the nearest thing I've seen to men against boys in the Premier League this season. And it's easy to say this after the game, lads, but they showed a camera shot of Liverpool waiting in the tunnel. 2 minutes they were waiting for Arsenal, but Liverpool were sized up. They were ready. They just looked incredibly focused, you know, a good week's work, a good team talk. And then Arsenal just came out in dribs and drabs, dead youthful, almost had a juvenile look about them. And then from that point, I just thought, oh, Liverpool look on it here. And it was just a matter of time for me. And I think you've already mentioned the phrase. They just ripped into Arsenal, ran through them, ran over them, out-muscled them. And of course, outplayed them and outscored them. It wasn't exactly vintage Liverpool, but it was a throwback to something like what they've been in the last 2 years. They were great to watch.
Yeah, and it looks like the injury jinx is finally over. Granted, you know, the central defensive issue is still there. I know Ozan Kabak has come in and he's done relatively well. And I had a disastrous debut, but he and Phillips seem to have hit it off. You know, as I mentioned, Fabinho and Thiago in the middle of the park. I know Wijnaldum is back in contention soon, but then you've got the three strikers, Mane, Firmino, Salah and Jota, who came on to score. This looks like a serious Liverpool team that can get back into the top four. There won't be any issue with that. I don't see them falling short this season. Honestly, I don't. Ask me that maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I'd have said yes. But now it seems like everyone is coming back to full fitness, or not, obviously with the exception of Van Dijk, etc. But as for Arsenal, Steve, I look at their lineup. Chambers at right back, Holding at centre back, Ceballos, Nicolas Pepe. These players aren't going to get you a top four berth, are they? They're not going to even. No, I don't know what to say. What I haven't already said about Arsenal. You know, we've bigged up Arteta so much in the past, and even now I'm starting to think, well, is he really all that? Because, granted, you can only play with the cards that you're dealt with. But when you've got players like Alexander Lacazette, you're relying on him to get your goals. And then you're relying on Aubameyang to put in a shift, which it's almost as if he couldn't be fucking asked. You know, yeah. Is this on the manager and the players, or does Arteta really need to start putting a rocket up people's asses?
Well, he's already done that. We know that with Ozil. I mean, what's happened to Willian still? I mean, I'm fully aware that his legs are going and his backside has dropped. So I can see that for myself. But
didn't come off the bench. he sat on the bench.
They've got a team of seconds, like spares, like the two centre halves asked to do a senior job, but they're both second centre halves. Other than Tierney, who's getting a lot of praise at the moment, they're all like lightweight replacements asking to do centre midfield jobs, centre half jobs. You know, Lacazette is a second centre forward, trying to be a centre forward. You know, Aubameyang, is he best in that left channel? But you're so far away from goal. They look like they've got like replacements for what should be the job and the level, but they're actually in the position having to do the job. They all look like spares to me. There's nobody with any real seniority that inspire me and go, yeah, he's a 9 out of 10 stick on. Probably other than the left back and the goalkeeper, maybe, but the rest of them, even with the talent and the it has to be said, the salary of Aubameyang and such, they all just look like a set of spares.
Let's have it, Stez. You know, the captain is a bad captain. Is a bad leader for your team. Turning up late. You know, the shit that he does. It's just not what you want to see from an Arsenal captain. When you think of Tony Adams, Patrick Vieira.
Yeah,
and now Aubameyang, it's just.
But what did I tell you the other week? Right, this guy has got away with so much because he's mates with that kid from AFTV. If they weren't mates, he'd have been ripped to pieces. But he gets a free pass because of the relationship that he's developed with this guy, right? And people are too scared to say anything about him. He was absolutely dog shit the other day, and for Gary Neville.
This is the problem with these fans. They want all the players to be friends with them. That's kind of the Achilles heel, because you know he won't be at the club next year. I don't see him be at the club next year. Mikhail Arteta, if he wants to move forward, he has got to get him out of that club because he's a bad player for that club. And he's got a load of players. Willock, should he have got rid of him? Maitland-Niles, should he got rid of him? The players that have come through, yeah, they're not great, but, you know, he'll give you more than what that team gave you yesterday. So, Arsenal in deep, deep trouble. And, you know, I think Arteta's a good man for the job, but it's a big one. It's a big one because, you know, what Stez's saying there, we've got a Tierney and then...
He went off at half-time, I think.
That's another thing. He's not really had a good run since he's been at Arsenal. He's been injury-plagued. You've got probably Smith Rowe that looks half-decent. Partey looks half-decent. Apart from that...
They've got no power. They've got no character.
Yeah, it's just from the Arsenal teams of old, even the Arsene Wenger team, you know... What team this year? It's just a massive, massive job. And when you've got the captain turning up late, you know, looking like a just looking like the way he does with what he's doing with his hair, the way he dresses, the cars that he drives. You know, yeah, he can do whatever he wants for his money, and it's not a problem. But when you're 10th in the league I don't want to see all that crap. I don't want to see any of it. I just want to see you coming in early, working hard, and getting trying to fix it, not on all the crap that goes with it.
The thing is, when you look at their subs bench, they had Bellerin, who's the regular right back. Now, I don't know about their injury crisis, so I don't know if these players were unfit or injured, but I'm just saying Bellerin was on the bench. Willian was on the bench, who you mentioned earlier, Steve. Cedric Suarez came on for Tierney at left back. Pablo Mari was one of Arteta's first signatures. He's a central defender. So I don't know why he didn't play ahead of Holding. But then again, given the performance at West Ham, perhaps that's the reason. Reece Nelson, who many Arsenal fans have been hyping up for God knows how long, failed in Germany, gets on the bench. Elneny, who they didn't want, he's coming on now. And Nketiah, we keep hearing about how close he is to Ian Wright in terms of his level of finishing. Well, if he's that good, then surely he should be ahead of Lacazette, right? And then you've got Martinelli, who they reckon is their own version of R9. But that's, this is Arsenal Twitter we're talking about here. So if these players are any good, why are they not playing? And if they're not playing, then it must show that they're not really that good in comparison to the players that are already there, no?
And
no.
Some of them players, you could probably play with a strong side and you probably get away with one or two. No, you can't play them all together. They're just not good enough.
No.
Just not. You've not got that experienced players that you can bring in the Mason Greenwood or the Martinellis, but you just haven't got that strength to put them in there and to make them blossom. You just haven't, and then it's just that's putting them players back then. So that's probably why he's not put them in, because he don't want to probably kill him.
I think it's a big job to do. If you're blessed enough to have like a squad of about 22, the current Arsenal team, for me, for Premier League level, for where they want to be, should be numbers 11 to 22. They're literally a full set of spares, in my opinion. Might sound a bit harsh, because they've obviously got talent, they've got Premier League, but they've just looked like they've got a team of a support cast.
And do you know, when I see people on social media saying, oh, Arteta out, get rid of him. Okay, well, let's say you do get rid of Arteta and you bring in someone like, I don't know, who's that Italian manager that they keep talking about? Allegri. They want Allegri. Bring in Allegri. What can Allegri do with this team? What can he do with them? Because no matter which manager comes in, they're going to need a lot of time to get rid of players and bring in their own players. I don't think Arsenal's recruitment has been great. Let's be real, right? I don't think the recruitment has been great, especially under Arteta. But that being said, when you look at the players around them, maybe Partey, Tierney, and out of push, Odegaard, who's even on loan. Those are the three players, or maybe Leno. Those are four players that I'd say, yeah, I'd take them for my team.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of them, I don't really see where they're going to go with them. I really don't see.
No, I'm with you completely. They don't even flirt with you. They're just completely, they've gone from invincibles to, obviously a long time ago, to not convincibles. That's what they are.
Invincibles to unconvincibles. Oh dear, that's the title for our podcast, ladies and gents. Right, let's talk about Spurs then. Let's talk about another team from North London that has been struggling a little bit. Rod, they drew 2-2 at Newcastle. In fact, the game was practically in the bag up until the last 5 minutes when Joe Willock, on loan from Arsenal, mind, scored the equaliser. Jose Mourinho, I don't want to take this conversation to him, but he said, I think he was interviewed by the BBC, and they said to him something along the lines of, you know, before a Jose Mourinho team would be able to close a game off. And he basically answered, well, same manager, different players. So here he goes again.
Yeah, he did that. It was 5 Live Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal, but, you know.
Is he wrong, though?
Well, yes, because look at the players he's had at Chelsea. Do you think a John Terry, a Chelsea back four would do that? A team that his Inter Milan team would do that? Moratti, it just wouldn't happen. So yeah, he's probably right. You know, the team aren't at a level that he's used to, but you've just got to get on with it. Still, you're still playing at a Newcastle side that you should be seeing out that game. I just find it, as a coach, if my manager said that, I'd be banging on his door tomorrow and just saying, what the fuck, what you want about? What you say, what you trying to say? As a team, as players, as individuals, but as an individual, I would pull him and say, what are you on about? and try and get go through it with him. But I wouldn't be having that as a player. No way, no how. So, yeah, I just don't see how that dressing room can just be like, yeah, all right, just Jose. It's not the same as it was years ago. There's players that will just switch off and just not give him the 100% that he craves. So he's kind of shooting him in his foot, really. He's trying to be brutal, trying to be honest, but it's not helping himself. So, yeah, I don't see why he did that. You know, you keep things like that in house. You would never, ever, ever, ever see Ferguson do that, ever. He would berate someone in the dressing room, come out purple and say the total different opposite. So, yeah, I just don't get it.
Well, I thought Son was going to be out for a pretty long time after pulling up with that hammy against Arsenal, but he made the bench and he came on. But Steve, when you look at Tottenham's back four with Reguilón, Rodon, Sanchez and Tanganga, I think only Reguilón's the only one that I would select at left back for my team anyway. But the rest, again, you're looking at a recipe for disaster. That being said, Spurs were winning. So does this go back to what we've been saying for a hell of a long time about Spurs, where they just don't have the fucking balls? They just don't have it.
Well, possibly. We could talk all day about him, but quick mention for Harry Kane. I thought he was brilliant. Obviously, the two goals, and he was dropping in deep and sending Son away into the channel and hit the post 45 seconds before Newcastle's equaliser. I thought he was brilliant. For Mourinho, I would suggest same manager, different players. Well, he's basically saying they're inept to what he's worked with in the past. This is someone that's played Samuel Eto'o on the left wing in a final, who basically played the whole match left back. So, you know, the lengths he would do to keep a game tight. But you don't see him at the side of the pitch, lads, shrinking the game, you know, directing, coaching. He's basically very, very calm now as he's getting older and the seasons are going by. So my, I can't give any advice. He is one of football's greatest managers, but if it's lesser players, work harder. And he doesn't look to me, I'm sure he's in the training ground just as early and I'm sure he gets home just as late. But he wasn't actively, visually doing anything on the side of the pitch to protect that 2-1 result at the time. He was just leaving it to the players. So I would suggest he needs to work harder. We can all, you know, make hay while the sun shines and we can all sail a ship on still waters. So when you're working at Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, Manchester United, Inter Milan, AC, whatever, the best teams in the world, if Tottenham aren't that, you've got to show why you are one of the greatest managers and work harder. Possibly they've got no balls and possibly he's right, they've not got the personnel, but he's got to take the result on his own chin really and take the reason for it, because I didn't really see him blocking the game off. I think he was just leaving it to these players that he's basically saying are inept, so I think it's negligence.
Do you know what, Steve? The one thing I've noticed about Spurs, especially over the many years I've been watching this game, they've always been a team that can get goals. You know, be back in the day when they had Ozzy Ardiles as head coach and they had Klinsmann and Sheringham and Anderson, and you fast forward, they had all these other players in the past and they have been scoring goals. And then then you've got the flip side where they've never really been able to keep clean sheets. I don't know the most clean sheets they've kept in the season. It's something I need to look into in terms of their history. But the goals that they conceded against Newcastle were just so Spursy, pardon the term. It's, you know, ball watching, players out of position, the lack of focus. And it's almost as if it's in the club's DNA to be like this.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you, Stel. And I'm just, while you were chatting there, I'm thinking possibly we can forgive Bale. It's the second time he's come straight onto a pitch and took a free kick and put it high in the terracing. But, you know, I'm now wondering, you know, how much work is going on? Have you ever seen Tottenham score from a set play? Have you ever watched Tottenham have an unlucky set play routine and you get credibility straight away because you go, oh, that was from the training ground? You don't see anything. So all the goals have got to be majorly crafted by, I mean, they've made a big thing of the numbers of Harry Kane this weekend, up with Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi and Lewandowski. Also, Paul Mullin, who's basically a Cambridge United player, on 27 goals, so it was amazing for him. But at the same time, Tottenham do score these goals, but they're well short in what they should be doing, because clearly it doesn't look like they're doing enough to block games off and protect victories, which end up turning into a draw, which is yesterday. And like I say, I don't see any set play imagination. So they're doing themselves in with two big factors of the game, how to hold on to a game and how to score from a set play. I don't see it.
Fair play. Rod, let's talk about United. 2-1 win over West Brom. Brighton. West Brom. Yeah, because West Brom played twice this weekend, right? They beat Brighton 2-1. Danny Welbeck gave Brighton the lead with a goal that can only be described like FIFA-esque. You know, shooting against the goalkeeper, comes straight back to him, heads it in. But United fought back, got a 2-1 win. And it wasn't a great performance, was it? But at the end of the day, as Steve said before, when you come back from international break, when there's players going here, there and everywhere, you're going to see a bit of fatigue. But it's a good result at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, it doesn't make any difference from a title challenge. But then again, it puts United clear of Leicester, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives us that breathing space and puts pressures on the teams below. It's good to win after the teams below been beat. You know, Dean Henderson was lucky. It was a good save. You know, the ball could have gone anywhere, but it bounced straight up to Welbeck and he couldn't really not miss. So, but yeah, very good second half. First half, not very good, but second half just got the job done. And yeah, Greenwood's looking better and better. It's just the benefits of having Cavani there again. He's obviously watching him, a top world-class striker that's proven. And he's just learning from it. Like Ollie says, if he starts getting them scruffy, you know, six-yarders, Andy Cole goals, Ian Wright goals, and he can score an array of different type of goals, and that's what you need from a Man United striker. And he's got the qualities to do that. So, yeah, it was good. But, yeah, it was good. The first half was abysmal, but, you know, we've seen it before this year, especially at Old Trafford. But it was good to turn it round and get the right result in the end.
I don't know what else to ask you about United this season, because there isn't really much to play for. There's obviously the Europa League.
No, but if with your manager, you want to see your team progressing, and you see your team playing better. You know, we've seen City at the minute, they're on a different planet, and it's something to strive for and something to reach for. It's getting better. Last year it was fourth. Yes, we got beat in semi-finals. Can we get finished second, and can we possibly win the Europa League? And that would be okay. And then next year he's under pressure because really we were looking for him to win it. So, or to at least be challenging. So it's a big job, but yeah, he's progressing. You know, I'm not a big fan of getting rid of managers. So I would have stuck with Jose. Yes, he's gone, but now sitting the same, stick with Ollie. But Ollie's much better to watch teams than Van Gaal's, Mourinho's. He's bringing young players through. He's got rid of the dead wood. And, you know, yeah, he's just looking better. And like I say, City are on a different platform, same as City and Liverpool were last year. But we're getting closer, so that's all you can ask for.
Getting close. I guess that's progress.
That's all you can ask for, mate. Progress next year. It's a big, big job for him because, you know, finishing 17 points behind City won't cut it. It's not good enough. And so next year, we need to press on again and literally be challenging. Or there will be people calling for his name because he's been there now for a good... It'll be for 3 years. And, you know, if you're a Manchester United manager, you need to at least winning things. No, Jose won things and he got the sack. So,
yeah, true, very true. Steve, as for City, big win against Leicester. It was dominant, wasn't it? It could have been 5, 6, 7. It's almost as if City were in second gear. Mendy scored, and as did Jesus. But Aguero, that's the big news. Aguero leaving City at the end of the season. Shall we talk about Sergio first?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a. A known figure in the Premier League that I'm sure we've all got a similar opinion on him. The debate is obviously probably where you're going to with this is, you know, is it the right decision for him to move on? Should they extended the contract? You don't know what they've got up the sleeve. You know, you read they're after Haaland, naturally. They're possibly after Grealish again. Maybe even Danny Ings. So, you know, that'll breathe new life and young potential back into the club without, you know, the detriment of the team. But we've got used to playing without him. We've played with centre-forwards, we've played with one centre-forward, two centre-forwards, and we've actually played with no centre-forwards whilst he's been rehabilitating. And even then he came back on the bench and sat on it for a while. I do think it's the right time to go. I do think he's been one of, obviously, but possibly the best centre-forward in the Premier League, although Alan Shearer's record possibly won't ever be beaten in terms of goals, but depends what you're judging it on. If it's on, you know, impact, trophies won, obviously the special moment for City fans, the 93-20 moment when he won the league with the goal. He's a Premier League icon, but as I mentioned earlier about Willian, you know, this is more of a superstar, but once you get them injuries, once your age creeps upon you, there's a phrase that says that your legs go, but more often it's your backside drops into your shorts. And it's just time for somebody else to take his place. And he'll go with my blessing as one of Manchester City's greatest ever players. And it'll be sad to see him go, but I do think it's time. What about you?
I agree with you. And you know what? There are people that have been doing their top 10 Premier League strikers. And a lot of people tend to base their list on goals scored, not just like an overall contribution. But I was telling a friend the other day, Dan, actually, from the D&D Footy Factory, I was telling him, well, if you want to compare quality strikers, people always talk about Ruud van Nistelrooy, but he didn't score 100 goals, but yet Dion Dublin did. So does that mean Dion Dublin is better than Ruud van Nistelrooy? That's not how it works. But for me, Aguero is top five, 100%. You know, he's not just because of the amount of goals that he scored, but for the contribution that he made to Manchester City. Yes, granted, people will say, well, there was Silva, there was a Yaya Toure company, et cetera, but this guy was consistent every single season. Every single season. And you do get strikers that have a season where maybe they don't score that many goals or maybe they've been inconsistent. But even the seasons when he's had injuries, he still managed to be up there in the goal-scoring charts. And I think, did he only make the team of the year once, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. Once. That's right. And I think it's 20-plus goals in five of those seasons. And the other seasons, he's had injuries, but his record has been something ridiculous, like 16 goals in 24 games as such. Yeah. So his ratio is unbelievable. Just a quick one for you lads. Rodri played the position, so he understands it better than me. But I am a little bit annoyed about this. Everybody talking about now this pressing from the front as though it's brand new and that he can't do it. Yet the great Liverpool team of the 80s going into the 90s with Ian Rush in it, who was the greatest British goal scorer at the time alongside Lineker, and everyone said he was Liverpool's best defender, as well as being their best goal scorer because he worked so hard on the front line. So this isn't new, but everybody's talking about this pressing, this gegenpressing, this sprinting. Now, it is obvious that's not really Aguero's game. He's very, very quick when he wants to score a goal, but he's not necessarily quick to stop defenders coming out with the ball. But Jesus is like a wasp. The next player that come in will have the legs to do it. Of course, Aguero isn't that type of player, but I am a little bit irritated when I keep hearing, oh, Aguero can't do what the modern game brings these days. I think that's a load of rubbish, but it does have a small factor in it, the fact that it looks like we want a younger model, if that's possible.
Absolutely. Now, as for the game itself, Rod, as I said, City cruise control. It was too easy. And this isn't the kind of performance I'd expect from Leicester, especially a team that knocked Man United out of the FA Cup the other week so convincingly.
Just different levels, mate. It's just different levels to the game, and City are on a different level to everyone. And he's shown that against a very, very good Leicester side. They weren't even in it. They were just sitting, just toying with him, and just it was just a matter of time. That's all it was. It was just a matter of time before he scored, and then they got the second. And yeah, it's just the pressure they put on you, that the work rate, that off the ball, on the ball, it is a joy to watch. So yeah, it was a very good, very good performance, and by a very good team.
Brilliant. All right, well, that's pretty much it for this episode. Before we wrap it up, gents, we know that City are going to win the league, so do you guys want to predict the next three teams are going to be in the Champions League spots?
Go on, Rod.
Shall I tell you the table so far?
I'm looking at it now. Oh, See, I've got a sneaky feeling. Everton, but see, Everton, if they win their two games then, that'll put them 52, so that'll put them fourth. Oh.
Yeah, but surely I'm going to stick my neck
out and go City, United, Leicester, Liverpool.
Okay. Steve?
I think Leicester are going to falter. The conundrum now is Maddison 100% fit to start? Jamie Vardy's not scored for 9 games and now he's going more and more into the left channel, away from 2 centre-halves, bigger than him, and trying to race away in that channel against a right-back as opposed to playing with his back to goal through the middle. Then you're leaving a lot for Iheanacho, who has improved, but you're asking a lot for him to play play well every week and score. I think Leicester might open the door for other people despite having a bit of an advantage at the moment. And I've got
the next game for Leicester.
Yeah.
Is West Ham at West Ham.
Yeah.
If West Ham win that, they'll be on 52 points, 4 points behind with a game in hand. Yeah, so Leicester could struggle, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to go some. I don't think they can. I know they're out of Europe now, but I just see Vardy just becoming, you know, we know he's still great, but he just keeps getting wider and wider. I just don't see Iheanacho doing it on a Saturday-to-Saturday basis, and I think they can be caught. I'm liking Liverpool's performance the other night, so I agree with Rodri to get that last spot. And I'm sure Chelsea are going to have a really, really good preparation going into the next week because things were going well, but on the back of getting beat by West Brom, basically a kick up the arse. Difficult to call. I'm not having Everton or West Ham. City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, and a real fall for Leicester.
Yeah, I agree. But although I think Liverpool are going to finish third.
Yeah.
Above Chelsea. But yeah, I can't see Leicester keeping up the pace. They rely a lot on Vardy, as we said, numerous occasions. Yeah, yes, so Iheanacho is doing well. But
In 8 games, Liverpool, you reckon they're going to gain 7 points?
Unless yeah.
Don't they have to play Leicester as well? I'm not sure.
That would help if they do, yeah.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong. But I think that with Liverpool being going back to their, well, I won't say back to their best, but back to the Liverpool that we're used to seeing. Let me look at their fixtures. Liverpool fixtures.
It's a big game for Tottenham. It's a big game for us. Tottenham next week as well, isn't it?
That's right. So Liverpool got Villa, then Leeds, then Newcastle, then United, Southampton, West Brom, Burnley, and Palace. I mean, the last 4 games, they've got to be winning those. Southampton, yeah. West Brom, Burnley, and Leicester Palace.
Leicester fixtures.
Leicester. Right. Here we go. They've got West Ham next, as you quite rightly said. Then they have Southampton in the Cup, West Brom, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle, Man United. Is this right? Chelsea and then Spurs. So the last 3 games are United, Chelsea, and Spurs.
There's your 7 points there.
You reckon?
Yeah. Can you see them winning any of them games?
No, I thought you meant that they're going to get the 7 points. No, so there you go. There you go. See? I think your dog wants to get out.
he wants to get in.
Are Newcastle going down or not?
Where are they? They're 8 points ahead of Fulham, or is it West Brom? Let's have a look. Hang about. Table.
Fulham needed to win last night to jump and obviously didn't.
Yeah, so Newcastle are on 29. Fulham are on 26. Although Newcastle have a game in hand.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one because we saw Fulham do so well. I know they lost to Villa, but they were doing so well before that. You just never know. This is the thing. Like, I think West Brom and Sheffield United are definitely down. Sheffield United, without a shadow of a doubt. But Sheffield United got Arsenal at the weekend as well, so that'll be an interesting one. Yeah. Let's see if the Arsenal players can turn up at an empty Bramall Lane, I guess. But yeah, I don't know with Newcastle. I really don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult to say right now. Ask me when there's 2 games to go.
they've got a difficult...
I think they've got Fulham on the last day as well, if I'm not mistaken.
That might be the side of them.
Yeah.
Newcastle fixtures.
If it is goes down to that last game, I'd probably bet on Fulham.
Yeah, so they've got Burnley away next, then West Ham at home, Liverpool away, Arsenal at home, Leicester away, oh, City. Oh my God, they're down. They're down. Their last two games are Sheffield United and Fulham.
Del, do you think Burnley are safe?
Burnley? Yeah, I think they'll be all right.
Okay.
I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be fine. I think the bottom three will be contested with Newcastle, Fulham.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Newcastle, Fulham and West Brom. Those. But then again, I think Brighton are in the mix as well, aren't they? So, yeah. But I'd be scared if I was a Newcastle fan right now, given that run of games. But hey, listen, Steve Bruce is, there's quite a lot of people this season. You know, even though people don't like him, he's got a few decent results like we saw at the weekend. So you just never know. You just never know. And with Joe Linton scoring, blimey. Well, there was snow in London earlier, so you never know. Right, that's it, gentlemen. Wrap
thanks,
it up.
Sir.
Excellent. Thanks for your time. Rod? Thanks. Enjoy your day with your dog.
Yeah, he's doing me frigging hanging.
Lovely. So we'll be back sometime, well, hopefully next week. Till next time, take care.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.